Good morning. How you guys doing? Listen, that was really powerful during worship, was it not? I mean, really, if we do not hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us in this season, friends, we will miss the boat. The Lord is speaking so loudly. Are you with me? Stay plugged in with me. Zone in with me right now. You know, in the Old Covenant, it says that if when God spoke from the earth, if people then did not escape his chastisement, how much more when God speaks from heaven? The New Testament warns us, make sure that you do not refuse him who's speaking from heaven. Because God is shaking what can be shaken. He is awakening the church. And friends, we must be awakened and alert to rise to the invitation of God in this hour. We cannot be deaf, dumb, drunken with the spirit of the age, become mediocre and passive, and miss a moment of visitation. Are you with me? There's a moment in time. There's something being released now from heaven. You and I must be found ready. And we've heard this idea. We think we're ready, but we're not ready. But the call is to get ready. To prepare yourself, to prepare your house, to prepare your family. Are you with me? To set things in order so that your life, your family, this community can bear the weight of glory that God wants to release upon us. Are you with me? There is a preparation right now, and friends, we must be gripped with zeal. We can be jubilant and happy and rejoice in our Maker, but friends, at the same time, as I've said many times before, we must rejoice, but with trembling, friends. This is a wonderful hour, an awesome hour, and a fearful hour. There is such a distinguishing, a line of demarcation happening right now in the earth and even in the body of Christ, where God is sifting the righteous from the unrighteous. There's great apostasy in the body of Christ at large. Do you hear me? There's great delusion and deception in the name of tolerance. That has blinded the minds of believers who take it hook, line, and sinker because they've not been lovers of the truth, lovers of God's presence. They've not been locked in the fear of the Lord to what God is saying and wanting and doing, and therefore they get swept up in the delusion of the age, in the deceptions and enticements, distractions and entanglements of our day. And God is saying, church, we must rise and shine. We must wake from slumber. Put on strength, put on the beautiful garments of praise, and be ready to wage war in the spirit. Because if you're not engaged in the fight, you will become a casualty. If you're not engaged in the fight, you will become a casualty. Oh, you're just being passionate, Josiah. No, 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 no. Hear me. Hear the word of the Lord, you dry bones. That you might live. Because the word of the Lord is going forth into the earth. A clarion call is being shouted over the body of Christ. And those that would hear what the Spirit says are rising to attention and becoming the army of the Lord. Arrayed in holiness and in beauty and righteousness. Clothed with power in the fear of God. Ready to be about the Father's business on the earth. Are you with me? This is an hour of transition, an hour of demarcation. And as we said last week, listen, there's no going back. Something broke in the spirit. We've been saying there's a mounting. We're pregnant with something. There has been a progressive leading in the spirit that we've continued to be sounding the alarm about. Something began to shift last week. Something began to materialize and manifest last week. It's different when you're pregnant with something. It's different when the head starts to show. It's different when the baby's actually coming. Versus like, oh, I got this baby. It's uncomfortable. I know it's coming. Right now it sucks. But it's going to come and the joy is going to be awesome. But it's different when suddenly birth happens. Something happens in a moment. You wait a long time for a suddenly. And friends, we're in a moment of a suddenly. You and I must be ready to catch the wind of the Spirit. To catch the wind of the Spirit. And friends, you cannot do that passively. You cannot do that on the sidelines. You must be active participants to engage. You cannot be weighed down with the cares of this life. Do you hear me? That's why Jesus warned over and over. It's actually one of his loudest warnings in Scripture. When midst of famine, earthquake, war, nation against it, when all that was happening, when earth was shaking, what was his loudest call to the church? Don't fall asleep. Wake up. Be alert. Stand ready for action. Watch and pray. Watch and pray, lest you fall asleep and you miss the hour of visitation. Stay awake by praying. Stay awake by praying. And if you're not given to prayer in this hour, making room to sit in his presence, to learn to wait on God, as an individual, as a family, as a community, friends, you will miss the fullness of what God wants to give you. Jesus wouldn't do that. He loves me. I'm not going to miss nothing. You don't know God. You don't know the God and the revelation of Scripture if that is where you stand. Read the testimony of Scripture. It says exactly the opposite of that. But there will be a remnant of those that are awake and alive and standing at attention, longing for his appearing, trembling at his word and his voice, and actively participating in the agenda of heaven now. And we have a choice. Will that be you? You and your household. As it was in the days with Jehoshaphat, we've talked about out of 2 Chronicles 20:20. He gathered young and old with their babe, nursing babes. Every generation gathered to seek the Lord, to wait on the Lord. And this is the posture that we must be in now. You cannot just be caught up with business as usual. You must gather with your family to seek the Lord. There's one thing to seek God by yourself. There's another thing to be in agreement with the people of God. And to be in agreement with your household, waiting on the word of God, waiting on the instructions of heaven. And that's the posture we need to take. And men, fathers, you must rule your homes in the grace of God, in the love of God, and lead. You must lead your home. And men in the church, you must rise up and take your place in the family of God. Men must awaken in this hour. We all must awaken, but I'm just speaking to you men for a moment. This is so important. Last week we said, listen, there's no going back. We can't come. When we come to a gathering like this, when the body gathers, do you understand this is a supernatural gathering? This is a supernatural gathering. We are the assembly of the saints. We are Zion. God dwells in our midst. Ah, you can get drunk on that. That's intoxicating. God is in our midst. It's part of the mystery of the church. So when we come, you must guard against familiarity and come with expectation that God is about to speak. God is about to move, and he wants to move through you. Through us. So when you come, there must be a pressing in, an engagement, a participation with the Spirit's leading. And that's where things like what we're exhorted, where fear must be broken so that you can actually be available to God. Fear will make you useless to heaven. Fear will disqualify you. The Bible calls it cowardice, and they have no inheritance in the kingdom. Come on, someone say, ouch. But when we repent of fear and exert faith in God, who's strong and alive and for you, he makes you courageous. He makes the righteous bold as lions. Bold as lions. And that's your portion. Where fear should not rob your ability to be unhindered, to be used by God in the assembly, let alone in life. When the inspiration of the Spirit comes, are you going to be available for him to move through you? Or will you be spiritually constipated because of insecurity? God wants glory to rest on you and move through you. See, no one knows where the wind comes from or where it's going. But so are those who are born of the Spirit. You must be available to God to be moved without hindrance, without hesitation. Because you got to understand, there's a premium on God partnering with humanity. We we sometimes minimize your role, my role, our role in the kingdom and what he wants to do. You actually have a very significant role to play as a living stone in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God. Your voice matters. The grace and seed and gift of God in you matters. The Holy Ghost wants to rest on you, animate your person, and articulate himself through you. Christ wants to manifest himself through you. Do you want that? Are you hungry for that? Do you burn for that? That's why the cry of the prophets was, "Oh God, use me, send me. Sanctify me. Touch me with your fire and loose me into the world." You must burn to be a participant and agent of heaven. That's right. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. See, the Lord is the Spirit. And so when we gather, we must truly submit ourselves to the Spirit of God. Vulnerably, honestly. And you and I must be free enough to embrace the unknown. To embrace what's uncomfortable. Come on. You want to keep growing in God? You want to keep being used by God? You want to experience more of God? You have to be willing to be uncomfortable and live in the realm of the unknown. Right? Are you with me? If you just want to try to manage the Spirit or control the Spirit, friends, you have religion. The Lord is the Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord is. There is liberty. God wants to release liberty in this house so that we can partner with him. And we need to learn to be comfortable waiting on God, to truly wait on him. We need something from heaven in this time, as we have said over and over and over. But that takes making room, making space to honor his presence and his voice and learn to hear from heaven. Many of you need to learn what it is to participate with heaven, what it is to hear his voice, what it is to respond. We've got to learn to wait. We've got to be willing to be foolish. We've got to be learning to be childlike. And God wants to liberate us from fear. And as I said last week, and Sean exhorted again this week about it, old wineskins cannot contain the new wine or the new thing that God wants to do. They're incompatible. That's why there's no going back. We must take ground. We must advance. And when we show up here, we must think about forward ground. Forward ground. Taking ground. Engaging in a way you're not used to engaging. God is doing a new thing. And if we don't line up and get on heaven's agenda, friends, it actually will cause division, divisiveness, and frustration. Because if you try to put new wine in old wineskin, what does the Lord say? It will burst and the wine will be spilled. The wine will be spilled. The move of God's Spirit in our midst will not be stewarded, and we will miss something because God will look for people that can host his presence. He will look for those that have said yes and got on his agenda and not said, "Oh, what I'm doing works. It's good." Because those who operate in the old say, "Well, it's useful. It still works. This works for me. I'm comfortable with this." And you say, no, it's time to transition. Put off the old. Embrace the new, even if you don't understand it yet. Even if you're kind of offended by it. You don't have to understand it. You need to trust God with all of your heart. And follow his leadership. You hear what I'm saying? Because we don't want the wine to be spilt. We're crying out for this. We want to make sure that we are prepared to receive it. And then the wine skin would burst, and you could take that as the wine skin of your own mind, your own heart, or you could take it as the fabric of the community. Do you understand that if you're not on heaven's agenda and the community is trying to move with God, you will become an adversary and attack and persecute the things of God and divide the church and be divisive? The wine skin will burst because you will be attacking and resisting the very new thing God wants to give you and do. You'll complain and scoff and grumble about what you don't like and how things are changing and how things are looking because you don't get it and it doesn't feel like it used to be in the good old days. When God, as my friend Joe said, he says, it's not about the good old days. It's about the new great days today that we're living in and embracing the new thing now, keeping in step with the Spirit now. Are you guys with me? Am I scaring you some? I'm with you. We have to say yes to the Lord. We're under obligation to keep in step with the Spirit. And right now, the call that is so loud is to watch and pray. To watch and pray. How do you prepare yourself? Jesus tells us to watch and pray, to be alert, to be ready, to actually take time to sit with the Lord and observe what he's doing, to stand with him, to hear what heaven is saying, to pray what heaven is saying, to obey what he's giving you to do, but to actually make room to eat the scriptures, to seek his face, to worship him, to look to him, to adore him. Simple. Simple. But it actually requires you to stop certain things, to clear some room on your calendar. It requires you to maybe even fast. Because fasting is the gift of God to escort you and sow your soul into the new thing heaven is doing. Fasting will bend your soul to agree with heaven. It will condition you to receive what God wants to give you. He says, watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation, or that your hearts would be weighed down by wasteful living or drunkenness and the cares of this life. And then that day come on you like a trap. And of course, he's coming the day of the Lord. But think about the moment of visitation and you miss it and you're not ready. You're unprepared. You and I must be ready in season and out of season. But we also must be moving with the seasons. So I've said many times before, you know, doing the right things in the wrong season is just the wrong thing. The right thing in the wrong season is the wrong thing. So you have to understand the season and learn to line up with that. And we do that by staying alert and in prayer and not swept into the delusion of this age. You know, the Lord says that he literally will send a strong delusion. God, not the devil. God will send a strong delusion for people, believers, to believe the lie because they've not received a love for the truth. And they'll give themselves over to believing lying signs and wonders. That's why, friends, we must submit ourselves to the Lord, be lovers of his presence. Because if we're not, we by default will be subjugating ourselves to the cares and distractions of this life and will be vulnerable to delusion. This is real. Don't say, oh, not me, man. Let me tell you something. I know believers and brothers and sisters right now that said that would never happen to them, and that's where they are. Little bit of leaven ruins the whole lump. A little bit of leaven can defile everything. That's why Paul says, see to it that no one takes you captive by hollow philosophies, traditions of men, ideas that are contrary to Christ. There's so much bogus stuff floating around. That's why you and I must be vigilant, submitted, eating the scrolls. And then we have to have a spirit of no toleration towards unrighteousness. Do you hear me? Because one little bit of unrighteousness literally compromises your mind and your ability to discern truth. It slowly erodes. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? You get literally start giving over to a depraved mind and start concocting ideologies, philosophies, and theology that are contrary to sound doctrine, because a little bit of compromise and mediocrity gives you room to justify and rationalize your way right into hell, right into slumber. We have to stay alert. We have to wait on God. Learn to settle down in his presence. And God looks upon the humble and contrite and those that tremble at his word. And friends, this is an hour where we must be hungry for his word, hungry for his presence. Are you with me? And the scriptures are really loud. I've been so stuck on the thing where the Lord wants to really guard us from offense and familiarity. Offense and familiarity that would cause us to miss what God is doing. You know, in Matthew 13, Jesus shows up to his town, his hometown. Jesus shows up. He's doing signs and wonders everywhere. He starts teaching, and everyone's amazed at the authority on his life, the grace on his life, and they're like, but the rational mind kicks in. But where did he get these things? I know his brothers and his sisters. I know his mother. I know this person. And it says, so they were offended at him. And it says he did no miracles there because of their lack of faith. Jesus, the Son of God, creator of everything, was limited by the receptivity of the community. And that's where he also said, hey, a prophet is not without honor except within his own home or his own family. Therefore, God wants to move in the context of honor. So when the Spirit of God is moving in a community or through people in the community, what can stop you from receiving the grace and power and blessing he wants from you is familiarity that leads to offense. The rational mind that usurps the supernatural. That's why we must know each other by the Spirit. Know each other by the Spirit. Because if we stop looking at each other by the Spirit, man, we just start looking at the natural man, our idiosyncrasies, the things we're frustrated with, and we lose sight of the glory that's inside earthen vessels. Are you with me? And the scripture says, man, we must guard against the evil heart of unbelief. The scripture tells us, guard against the evil heart of unbelief. A little bit of unbelief will shut you down on the inner man. A little bit of disappointment and unbelief and friends, it will rob you. Your hands and heart will be shut, and you will not be able to receive what God wants to give. He's inviting us to open wide our hearts, open wide our minds, to seek him out, to receive from heaven and not fear the supernatural, not fear the things of the Spirit. And we have to watch for our mental models of ministry and the things of God that put us at odds, actually, with the things of the Spirit. You know, your knowledge or what you think you know about God can be your greatest stumbling block to actually knowing God. Your previous spiritual successes and experiences can rob you from the new thing now. Do you hear me? They will rob you. Therefore, we must guard against that and stay fresh and stay humble and hungry like a child. And not at odds with the Spirit. We must know what he's thinking so that we can agree with him. If we're not found in agreement, how can we walk together? If two are not in agreement, how can you walk together? And it's not God's job to get on our page, friends. It's our job to submit to God and get on his page. Do you hear what I'm saying? You know, like Peter, one moment he has the revelation from heaven about who Christ is. And the next moment, Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. In the next moment, Peter's speaking like a mere mortal, thinking with the agenda of man, according to his theology of what he thinks Jesus should be doing. And he challenges Jesus, no, you can't go to the cross. And he said, get behind me, Satan. You only have in mind the things of man and not the things of God. God's wisdom is foolishness to the natural mind. You hear me? Friends, be on alert. I'm telling you, beware. Take watch of your own soul, your own mind. Because when God is moving in a way that's contrary to what you may believe or think, or in a way you may not be comfortable with, if you're not careful, you will find yourself fighting against heaven's agenda and opposing the things of God. And really, you're under demonic influence, acting like a mere mortal. Woo! That's fiery. We don't want to be found persecuting and mocking what God wants to do. Because in this hour, there will be mockers and scoffers. Do you hear me? Oh, guard your heart and guard your lips and guard your attitude and tremble at the word of the Lord. Tremble in the fear of God to honor him and honor what he's doing. If we do not line up with what he wants, if we do not let him win us over, friends, we will become hardened. We could potentially shipwreck in our faith or straight up just become religious and a Pharisee that persecutes and misses what heaven wants to do. I see it happening even now amongst many. But listen, the Lord wants to release to us the key of intimacy. This is part of our gift. The part of the way that we guard ourselves, it is this staying awake, staying alert. It's the key of intimacy, the key of David, that enables us to open up doors, shut doors, release government, release authority, cause things to shift in our world by loosing what's in heaven on the earth, where we legislate as the priests and kings of the Lord. You hear me? But that means intimacy. That doesn't mean you can just come slinging and say whatever you want and think it's going to be done. No. When you come into the presence of the king, sometimes you just need to shut up. Sometimes you just need to listen and let the word to abide richly in you so that the word of the Lord, the spirit of Christ in you, can speak through you and make intercession through you. That's what's up. It's the key of intimacy. No agenda, no ambition except God's heart, God's will, God's fame, God's cause. Leadership in this day, leadership in your own lives, your own homes, your own hearts, in the church of Jesus Christ. We must be a people who linger in God's presence like Joshua. When Moses left the tent of meeting, when the glory of God was there, Moses stayed behind because he loved God's presence. And Joshua was the one that led the people into rest, into promise. And if we're going to move into the rest of God, move into the greater works, the finished works of Christ, we must learn to be a people of his presence, a people of his voice and his word. Are you with me? That means you have to make room in your life. Not just on a Sunday morning. I'm talking about 7 days a week. And I'm not talking about a 15-minute devotional. And I'm not being legalistic. If you're giving God 15 minutes of your day of consecrated time to read the Bible and pray, and you spend 12 hours going to work and doing everything else about your life, let me tell you something. You don't see the greatness of God. You don't know the hour we live in. It's almost like offensive. Like it's almost offensive. We throw God a bone, and then suddenly we want to be a vessel of glory that God uses and be available to heaven and think we're going to catch it with 15 minutes a day. What I'm saying is we need to wake up as passionate lovers of God, see his beauty, be enthralled with his worth, and let our lives be lived as ones worthy of the gospel. Are you living worthy of the calling of God? This causes us to rise up to another level, friends, to be available. And the greater demand of harvest and this hour that we're in is going to require more from you. Do you get it? The harvest and work among us, it is going to be so great. So great. Your capacity for God's spirit and voice must be enlarged. You must pray because the demand of activity will be crazy. Jesus was the busiest person there was. Guess what? He made it his ritual to continually retreat and be with the Father, even if it cost him sleep, because God sustained him. He knew that his source of power was the place of prayer. Is it for you that way? God wants to cause Christ to be formed in you. He wants to raise up Christ, men and women, and we can live his life through. Listen to this. This quote by Ian Bounds. I love this. He says, God's plan is to make much of the man, far more of him than anything else. See, men are God's method. The church is looking for better methods, but God is looking for better men, better people. What the church needs today is not better machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men from whom the Holy Ghost can use. Men of prayer. Men of mighty prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery. He comes on men. He does not anoint your plans. He anoints people of prayer. Woo! Come on. And listen, in closing, I want to invite you in the season. There's war in the heavens. I've consistently seen angelic activity. A couple weeks ago, the angel of breakthrough came here, and I believe just like in the days of Daniel, there's warfare in the heavens for the full release of what he wants to do. And I'm inviting our community to a 21-day fast, to fast and to pray, to seek the Lord for the breakthrough that he wants to release in our midst. We must take this posture of Ezekiel to prophesy, to speak, to declare, to wait on, to make intercession. And the Lord wants to raise up in this house day and night worship and intercession. He's calling out the watchmen to take their place in the church, to take their place in the place of prayer. He's restoring ancient paths in our modern times to release the new thing of God in the earth. We need to recover the ancient wells, the wisdom of those who have gone before us, wells of revival, authentic devotion, so that we can walk in an apostolic missional fire for the harvest that's at hand. I'm inviting you guys to watch and pray. The Herrenhut community in Germany had an unbroken prayer movement for 100 years. Unbroken. Two people a day stood hour after hour for men and women. The whole community engaged. Their motto was, no one works unless someone is praying. 100 years, unbroken 24/7 prayer. And they birthed the greatest missions movement. What do you think God wants to do with you and me? I'm inviting you and enlisting you to take your watch on the prayer shield to seek the Lord. I'm inviting you as response to staying awake in this hour, to carve out time to watch and pray. Come on, stand with me for a moment. We're going to respond. Come on, say, Lord, make me awake. And I am going to put these out here. I want you to pray and ask the Lord, what is my watch? Where is the place where I can stand and pray? I want you to seek the Lord and ask where you would take a stand, committed to pray, to usher in the things of heaven, the work of God in our midst. Father, I pray that you grip us with a spirit of grace and supplication. Wake us up. Teach us to watch and pray. Those of you that are watching online, respond to the Lord. Respond to the Lord. Ask yourself, what has the Lord called you to do? Where has he called you to watch and pray right now? Are you distracted with the cares of this life? Are you too busy to be before the King? I want to call you to repentance. I want to call you to the place of vigilance and the place of prayer. To let your lamp be filled with oil. To be hungry, to be hungry. To respond with fasting and prayer. Listen, the Lord is waiting to be gracious to those that wait upon him. Let's wait on the Lord, beloved. Amen? Amen. Listen, I know that the cameras are going to transition here, but I want to call you guys to respond and linger here for a moment. And I want to leave these up here to come almost as a response, to pray, to come to consider when the Lord would have you to take watch and pray. And then consider the fast that I'm inviting you into. Listen, you know, what God wants to release upon us, it's not convenient. It's not convenient. I'm calling you to consecration, not convenience. Greater consecration. Let's do it. Daniel prayed 3 times a day as his ritual from his youth. David prayed 3 times a day. King David was so zealous for the glory of God, he established day and night worship because God was worthy, and he realized this was his military tactic to protect Israel, was day and night worship and prayer. And I'm telling you, this is our missionary tactic. This is our call as an apostolic people to fuel the work of the gospel in our midst with day and night intercession, because we know we want to host God's presence. Are you with me? This is real. So let's respond. I want you to respond the way you feel led right now. But I want you to begin to cry out. Say, God, make me ready. Make me ready. Shake me from any delusions, places of toleration in my life. Keep me from wasteful living, wasting my money, wasting my time, wasting my energy, doing worthless things. Teach me to be given to heaven's agenda. Come on, pray with me. Feel free to just come up and respond. We've got time to respond. And I pray for holy fire, oh God. Again, I'm enlisting an army. We're prophesying to an army, but I'm enlisting you. I'm calling you to take your place in the community of God. Imagine that. Imagine no one works unless someone's praying. And imagine the power of knowing that at every hour of every day and through the watches of the night, that there was a people praying and making intercession on your behalf. Lord, I pray that you make us ready. Make us ready in the name of Jesus. Come and set a fire in us. Shake us. Help us not be offended. Come on, if you're offended by even anything I said, one, just forgive me. And two, open your heart and say, God, find no offendable way in me.